they just played your rejoinder, the Mother's Day story. So when you go in the coach's room, believe me, you're going
to hear. I'm going to hear.
Your locker may be on fire.
Yeah, I'm glad this isn't broadcast back east either.
So it is. What are you talking about?
Well, yeah, it's a good point. My mom asked me this morning. She goes, oh, I didn't know you did a radio show.
Yeah.
And she goes, can I get that?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I had to try to explain to, you know, how to go on the internet and look it up. And well, that's a whole other story.
Absolutely. All right, a couple of tweets on what you just said. Jeffrey Bell, listening to KMBR, I think the new commish will implement the DH for both leagues. Times are changing. Then Ferris Arthur Simpson says, you and Wotus today, most interesting part of the game is chess match between the managers. Gone with the DH, more players in the box score.
Yeah.
So that's, you get the different opinions on it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's hard to be in favor for the DH for myself, because I think you're going to lose something in baseball that's very special, and that's my opinion. And I hope they don't push it through.
Yeah, no, very polarizing, though, I'll tell you that. All right, Milwaukee yesterday, this big hitter, Chris Bryant, all the controversy about him going to the minor leagues when they brought him up and all that. Terrific hitter, let me tell you. Strikes out a lot. You know, he's a big kid. He's going to be a big star. Hits his first home run, goes around the bases, comes into the dugout. Everybody's gone.
Yeah.
Everybody's gone. The time-honored tradition of baseball. Isn't it amazing?
That's fantastic. You know, you love those moments, you know, even as a coach. You love when that happens, when the guys are, you know, quick thinking. The two things they do. One is that everybody leaves the dugout, which you can't do in every ballpark. Milwaukee's perfect because the clubhouse door is right there. So they get him. And the other one is silent treatment. Everybody sits down. The guy comes in, and he's all fired up, just hit his, you know, first home run. Everybody sits still. Nobody shakes his hand or says anything, and he has to walk through the dugout. So those are great moments, and it was fun to see that on the TV yesterday with them doing that.
You guys ever do that here?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We never left the dugout here that I can remember. They may have tried it, but the silent treatment happens a lot. And that always works. It's very effective because the guy that hits it, he's always stunned, right? Even if he's heard about it before, it hasn't happened to him. So that's a very effective way to welcome him on his first home run.
Pretty good. The professor, Ron Wotus, with us. Another baseball part that came up this week and watching the Angels play, going first to third. And I've watched Socia teams over the years. They go first to third better than any team I've seen. What's the trick going first to third for a baseball player? It's an important part of the game. Giants don't score many runs. Going first to third is huge.
Yeah.
Buster Posey last night, I thought, ran the bases great last night. Maybe not the night before, with Roberto Kelly sending him in and Deke Stanton. And base running is very important, as you said.
Right.
But first to third, how do you do it?
Well, again, I think, you know, the first thing is your preparation of and knowing where the outfielders are when the ball's hit, knowing what the outfielder's abilities are, can they throw or not throw, you know, how deep they're playing, you know, really surveying the field and then reading the ball off the bat. And once you see the ball hit and you know where the outfielders are, you can make a decision right away on whether you're going to try to, you know, get to third or not. Obviously, the scoreboard tells you whether there's no outs, you don't want to make the first out there, or two outs, you don't want to make the third out at third base. But one out is the optimum time. And I think that if you really want to get to third, you know, there's times that you can push it with no outs if you do all the preparation and you want to get there. I think that's the key as well. The ball's hit, you got to be thinking, I want to get to third base with less than two outs, because now you can score the run. So
big part of the
you got to want to get there, yeah.
Right, big part of the game.
Well, I mean, that's where you can score runs. I mean, base running, you know, you see every night where it affects the outcome of the game. And if you're struggling to score runs or you want to create more runs, you know, base running is a big way that you can do that.
Boy, interesting. We had a play last night that was interesting to me, and it was fan interference. And I think it went your way, frankly.
Yeah.
I thought Yelich would have scored, to tell you the truth, with two out.
Me too. I thought he didn't. I thought he might take a shot at least asking the umpires.
Hello, Mike. Yeah. Mike Redman, White Courtesy Telephone. Are you there? Are you there? But he never came out. And of course, that is a discretionary play by the umpires, where the runners would have been. So Yelich was a past shortstop.
Right.
I think when the ball was touched down there, and I think he would have scored. But my point is this. From a baseball perspective, how frustrating is it for you? What if it was the other way and you lose a run? How frustrating is it for you guys to see that happen during a game?
Well, it depends on the outcome.
Well, let's say it goes against you.
Well, obviously, you never want to see it. It is frustrating. I mean, we throw our arms up. It's a big play, big point in the game. It's frustrating, but you know, there's not much you can do about it. Look, I mean, the fans are there. They're going to react. You know, they're right on the fields. Here comes the ball. They're told not to do it. But, hey, it's out of our control. We can't say anything about it. They're going to react. Do you want them to do it? No. I mean, we've all seen the Bartman play and plays that really can turn a game around. But if it happens, it happens. If the umpires are doing their job, they should place the runners in the appropriate place. Now, it's always not that easy in defense of the umpires. Right. That ball last night, that would have been a difficult one because you don't know how that ball is going to carom off of the wall.
Right.
You know, when it's touch, it was dead, and Aoki had a long way to go to get it. But if it hits the wall, it could ricochet right to the outfielder where the guy has no chance to score. So it's a difficult call for the umpire to place the runners. If he did go out and argue it, would he have scored or not scored? And the majority of the time, unless it's obvious that the guy was going to score, they don't give runner home plate on there. They usually stop them like they did last night because who knows where the ball would have went.
Yeah, good point. Good point. It was kind of weird because even after the fan touch, it took a funny carom, and I'm not sure where he was. It took him a while to get there.
Right. Well, he knew the ball was dead, and he pretty much didn't go after the ball the way he would have if it was still in play because the ball was dead. So, he kind of gave up on that.
Well, how do you like Maxwell? I did the catch of the week, the Coors Light great grab of the week, and, you know, I said this guy on superhero night, you know, he takes off, and he just doesn't catch a ball normally. You know, he just doesn't get there. He dies. It's like he's a swimmer.
That's great. It was perfect. So he looks like a superhero.
Isn't
this guy's built very well. I mean, great athlete. And when that ball went up, you know, I didn't think he had much of a chance to catch it. Plays a very, very good outfield. He's made a lot of tremendous catches already this year, but I didn't think he had a shot for that ball. And it hung up just long enough, and he made a tremendous catch. Great catch.
He's kind of held the fort till number eight comes back.
He's done a great job. If you think where we'd be without him and the production that he's had, you know, and we knew that he can swing the bat and he has power in his bat. But what I did not know, and I haven't seen him play a whole lot years ago in Houston, we saw him play. But he's a very, very good outfielder.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fans are getting to see that. We saw it in the spring, and he continues to make very good plays after very good plays.
Yeah, and he takes the pressure off Pagan in the gap.
Sure.
Because he can get there. I mean, this guy is big, and he's got big strides. He can get in the gap, and then he can go down the line.
He really, I haven't seen any way he can't go. A lot of times say, well, a guy can't go back on the ball, or he doesn't go to his right as well. But, no, he comes in on the ball. He goes back. He covers the ground, which you have to do in our right field. You know, you want somebody that could cover the ground. You could be a great outfielder but not have that great speed. He closes on the ball well, like that ball last night. Without his speed, he doesn't make that catch.
Yeah. Hey, Latos today. All I have to do is, as I open the show, Dave Fleming is taking public transportation. I won't even say what type. Last night he said what type, and I got calls from other people in public transportation and said, why not take us? So we'll say Dave is not doing that. Latos, of course, threw a ball over the parking lot area and broke Dave's sunroof about 5 years ago. But Matt Latos today, you just say that name. He's verbally says, I don't like the Giants. I don't like San Francisco. And here he is today. Give us a little scouting report on him and a little history that you remember about Latos.
Well, we've obviously locked horns with him a few times when he was in San Diego. A lot of big games against him and was an outstanding pitcher. Very good stuff. I mean, he has above average stuff, has a great breaking ball that makes him difficult on lefties and righties. He throws it to both of them and throw it back foot on the left-hander and away from the right-hander. Good arm, above average arm, and I think he started the game when the last day of the season.
Come on, against Sanchez.
Against Jonathan Sanchez. Yeah. I think Jonathan Sanchez got the big hit in that game to put us ahead.
Hey, Matt, you know, does it seem like a different life? Talk about Aubrey Huff and Jonathan Sanchez getting the big hits. Does it seem like, I mean, it's only 5 years ago. Does it seem like it's about 50 years ago?
Well, there's a lot of baseball that's been played
Holy
in
cow.
Between that.
Holy
yeah.
cow.
Yeah. And it's tough, you know, the years start to run together, you
My
know,
God. Yeah,
the year after year after year. And but I do remember that game and Jonathan getting a big hit. And, and of course, the other game that he was involved with was Buster Posey with the Grand Slam in Cincinnati. Another big game that he was on the mound, and he always gets up for the Giants. He's a good competitor. You know, he loves pitching against us, and we got a shot at him.
Big guy, not a big strikeout guy, and then there's not a big fastball. He sort of moves the ball around.
Well, I think his stuff has gone downhill a little bit, like most guys. He used to bring it up there pretty good when he first came up, but he's lost a little bit, like most guys do. But still a good pitcher, and you know, it'll be a tough road for us today if he's on.
Yeah, he's pitched some good games, and you look at the numbers, and of course you think about the playoffs. He didn't get a call from the umpire. Remember, he came apart, started walking people, and then Posey just took it out, and goodbye Cincinnati. But he you know, I'll be interested to watch him on the mound, just to see how he handles himself on the mound. It's always been an issue for me.
Well, there's good theater involved with him, as you said. You know, he has had some moments with command, bouts of lapses in command and walk guys, and you know, intense games, intense things happen.
Yeah. Oh, very good. All right. Just very quickly, Vogelsong on the other side, a good game for him last time. When you pitch well, you seem to win. It seems like that's the story.
Well, that's the recipe for good baseball, no matter who you are. But that's been our signature, right? We've always pitched and scored enough runs to win the game. I think we've had 14 or so one-run games.
Yeah, I think you won eight or nine.
And we won eight of those, which we want to do. So starts on the mound. I think I've heard somebody else say that before.
Once in a while, I say it. Hey, we have a new member of the faculty, the philosopher now. Is Javier Lopez.
Yeah. You know what? And I think it's
okay?
a well-tabbed philosopher, Javi. Absolutely. You know, senior pitcher on the staff, been around the game, been with a lot of clubs, very articulate man and a smart man. So I think you have the right guy.
Yeah, well, he'll be on this morning. He'll give us the big picture perspective.
Good. I look forward to hearing that.
All right. Well, have a good day today. Good to see you. Won't see you. Heck, you guys go on the couple of weekends here.
Right.
You're down in Cincinnati next week, and then Colorado. You got a doubleheader in Colorado.
Yeah.
And then finally back. We'll see you for the Dodgers series, but then not a weekend until the end of the month.
Right. Oh, well, there you go. We'll have a little breather. I know you'll be on, so the fans will be delighted to know that the show will go on.
You can find me somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a good day today.
Thank you, Marty.
All right. That is the bench coach of the Giants, Ron Wotus. More coming up right here on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
KNBR 680.